tuning in to our Neighborhood Church podcast. Join us on Sunday at any of our locations. To learn more about our church, visit neighborhoodchurch.com or download our church app.
Good morning. And welcome to Neighborhood Church. My name is Mike, one of the pastors here, and I am so glad that you chose to be part of our time together today, whether you're here in person or here online. Thanks for being here. It's good to connect and interact and engage each other. Actually, God created us to do that. He created us to be in community together, to interconnect and to relate to each other. And so what are those important elements in relationships that make them thrive? Just yell it out. What are some of the important elements about relationships that really make them thrive? Trust, honesty, love, patience. I mean, look at how well you snapped those off. It is true because those are part of our life. We know them. We've observed them. We've been taught them, and they've soaked in as we live life. They now empower us in other relationships. Unfortunately, we soak in some bad habits as well in relationships, those actions that hinder and hurt relationships. Anybody brave enough to share some of those? What hurts relationships? Jealousy? What's that? Drinking? Yeah, absolutely. Envy? A lot of different things do that. Be it dishonesty or too busy or being mean or too self-focused. Actually, a lot of struggles in relationships happen when we let self be the empowering factor in relationships. We don't encourage, we don't affirm, we do demean and exasperate, we don't participate, we more demand, we don't join in and follow, we want to be in control or the center of that relationship, and that's not a good thing. Well, the Apostle Paul, who knows the human condition and our unfortunately sinful heart, has been challenging these Colossian believers. We've been in a study in the Bible book of Colossians, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to them, it challenges these followers of Jesus to be empowered by Jesus, because Jesus is the one true power that works in our life and helps us to live right and thrive, not other philosophies or other empowerments. It's really empowerment of Jesus. For when we engage others, empowered by Jesus's will and way, others are blessed, they are blessed, and we thrive. It's like kind of these toys down here. Now, let me see if I can get this one to work. Is that working? There we go. You see these little toys here? They're powered by light. And when light's on them, they start to dance. And they start to move. Because it's the light that's, they're empowered by the light. It's the same like this, this a solar battery I have here. I left it out in the sun the other day, and wow, look, it's got all four bars. And I can actually plug in my phone or my iPad. I can do that, and it's empowered because it's taken in the light, in the sun, created a battery here, and now things are running because of it. This guy just keeps stopping. What's the matter with him? Doesn't have enough. Will it work the other day? Wait, I feel it. I think it's going. There it is. But it'll probably just stop. We'll see. But the truth is that when we are empowered by the light of Jesus, where we reflect Jesus, we reverberate Jesus, we act like Jesus in line with who he is and his will, doing all that in the name of Jesus, as Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When we do everything in the name of Jesus, relationships are amazing and we dance. And it's fun there. Marriages bloom, families flourish, and businesses prosper. So how do we be more empowered by the light of Jesus? How do we let the truth of who Jesus is and his way of life be lived in our relationships? Because the truth is when we engage others empowered by Jesus, we will, Jesus' will and way, they are blessed and we thrive. And in this particular passage in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 now to 4:1, Paul gives three examples with several actions to do in the name of Jesus. So let's see how we can, you know, improve our dance moves a little bit in relationships, being empowered by Jesus. But before we do, if you wouldn't mind standing to your feet, and let's pray. Come on, buddy. You were doing so great the other day. Same light. Father God, thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together today. And we just ask, God, that you would bless us. God, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us through your word today. And may we gain something from our time together. So bless us, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, now, look at that. Woo! We're dancing. I encourage you to take out the worship folder that you were given that Lorena talked to you about as you walked in. Inside there's a card in there. That's really important to us because we would love to get a prayer request from every single one of you, even you online. Fill this out because I love to pray for you. And I really want to know what to pray for you about. So stick your name on there and any information you want us to have and give us a prayer request. Drop it in the offering bucket as it's being passed. But I encourage you to take the note page, turn it over. There's some blanks to fill in. The answers will be up on the screen. Also, you can go and grab out in the lobby area. All these are online too, for those listening online, is our study guide that has all the fill in the blanks and all the extra verses we use, and our life groups go through this. So I encourage you to pick that up as well. We have a lot of resources to help you to grow in your faith because our hope is that you would use this sermon, this time in God's word, is a launch pad for your study on throughout the week. We have all kinds of helps there, some articles written and so forth. And we also have a podcast that we do most every week that kind of takes us a little deeper. Well, the city of Colossae was a small city on a key trade route. You can see on the image on the screen, a number of different cities were there, including Laodicea and Hierapolis and Sardis and all these ones that are talked about in the Bible. They're on this trade route. And with that trade route came a lot of different ideas and philosophies. People were influenced by those, much like we're influenced today by those things that we come across, some good, some bad, some polarizing, some helpful to life and faith, and some not so helpful. Well, evidently, some not so helpful philosophies and deterrents of faith came into the city of Colossae, and were influencing these Colossian believers. And so Paul writes to them. He writes to them because these philosophers, in some way, attack the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus. That Jesus is not the sufficient, in other words, all-encompassing Savior. That Jesus is not God. That Jesus is not enough. And will not be engaged with us. And yet Paul pushes back. And through the scripture, he talks about this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He says that about Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Jesus, all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Jesus is the all-sufficient Savior. Jesus is the one true God, and we can trust in him. And when we're powered by him, life thrives. He goes on to that, and if you jump over to chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, he says, therefore, since Jesus is the all in all, the sufficient one, the all-sufficient Savior, that we are to, therefore, as you receive Christ, verse 6 of chapter 2, in the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And Paul just continues on that we're to live life his way. And then on into chapter 3 of this Bible book of Colossians, it starts out that we're to be clothed. We're to put on this dressed in Jesus wear, taking the effort to put that on, but also to take off the old nature and to do our part to stop those bad things that the bad habits that we get into of sin and take on Christ-like characteristics. Verse 12 of chapter 3, he says, put on, which the words put on means literally clothe. Clothe yourself, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Above all these, put on, dress yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Woo, man, does our world need that. We're to be empowered, just like these toys, empowered by Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so Paul now gets even more specific, looking at three areas of life, bringing out special actions to do in the name of Jesus, to be empowered by Jesus to do the dance that God wants us to dance, to be in line with who Jesus is and his way of life. He starts out first with marriage, bringing out some actions to do in the name of Jesus. We are to be empowered to participate and to love as in marriage. Hopefully you have your Bibles and you're open up to Colossians now, chapter 3, verse 18. He says this in verses 18 and 19. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now, before we start mixing in our cultural bias to this word submit, because some of you went, let me briefly explain what God's design for marriage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, right in the beginning. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. They become a team. Two unique individuals joined together in a great team that God brings together. Jesus explains it like this in Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, using some of these same words in Genesis. And Jesus said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. So this is also quoted in Mark chapter 10, verse 8. It's also quoted in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. A marriage relationship is like a team our great coach Jesus has pulled together, a dream team where Jesus gives roles to play that we might thrive. And in that, maybe produce, possibly, if God so wills, produce some great kids, work together well in our jobs, to enhance and sharpen each other, to encourage each other, and to complement each other. That compliment doesn't just mean, oh, nice, you know, shirt you're wearing or whatever. It's actually that when the two come together, something amazing happens. Kind of like when chocolate and peanut butter come together. Woo! Or macaroni and cheese, or you know, you pick your own food illustration. Whatever it is, there's a complementary sense in that one enhances the other and the other enhances the other, and they work together. That's what God's design is. It's a working together, bringing out God's purposes in our family, in our church, in our neighborhood, in our community, our city, our state, our nation, and our world, all the while reflecting God and bringing him glory. And all this happens when we're empowered by Jesus, when we get his light and we start to dance. Not empowered by some philosophy or some cultural ideal, but or self-focused motive. For as Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. And that takes submission, not beat down obedience or breaking of the will, but the willingness to participate, the willingness to work together, to live life together as God leads. Not always pushing for self-will or being a pushover that says whatever you want, but doing the hard work of collaborating, working together. Not manipulating, but also the hard work of inspiring, bringing out the best in each other. Not enabling, but participation. And yeah, it takes sacrifice and energy and the willingness to work together. We live in a world where self is the deciding factor for most everything. How will I fare? What's in it for me? My feelings must be satisfied or paramount. My wants must be met. My ways are of ultimate importance over any others. And you know that doesn't work. It doesn't work on a team. It doesn't work in a partnership. It certainly doesn't work in a marriage or a family or even at work. Paul says to wives, lead out in this. Show us the way of what submission to a team, what participation in a team looks like. That's what reflects the name of Jesus. Love also is the key. Not love if, you love back or love because of certain conditions, but a choice to love regardless. It's called unconditional love, a sacrificial, selfless love that does not stop loving regardless of the season of life. A love described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, that says it's patient, it's kind, it's not self-seeking, it's not self-driven, but celebrates the truth. And verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13 says, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And husbands are to lead out, are to show us how this kind of sacrificial, unconditional love looks like, for it reflects the name of Jesus. See, in a marriage, to participate in love are, in the name of Jesus, actions that should be worked out and worked at, but also other areas of life as well. We should be participate in love at work, at home, with our friends, as we move about our life. For when we engage others, empowered by Jesus' will and way, they are blessed and we thrive. Another to-do or another do in the name of Jesus action is to be empowered to obey and affirm as in a family. Let's look now at verses 20 and 21 in Colossians chapter 3. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. As we do all in the name of Jesus, as Colossians 3:17 has told us, we are to let who Jesus is and his way of life empower us to obey. The willingness to follow the request of someone placed over us. As children, we are to obey our parents. This is pleasing to God. This obedience comes with a promise. Verse 1 through 3 in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. When we come to faith, we are children of God. We make that profession that we understand we're sinful and we need a Savior, and that is Jesus. We become God's children. And so obedience is important. It's important to God. And we're to follow God's word, even over sacrifice. There's a great story in 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you have your Bible, you can turn over there. It's the Bible book of Samuel, and there's 1 and 2. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. See, Israel wanted a king. Everybody else had a king, and God thought, well, aren't I good enough? They wanted the physical king. And so they went out and chose a king, and they didn't choose him because of his heart or anything. They chose him because he was head and shoulders above the rest. He was tall. His name was Saul. And Saul seemed to be an okay guy, but had some faith in God, but obviously not a heart after God. Because God gave him a directive. God said, go and take care of this. You can read about it in chapter 14 and 15. And Saul decided he was going to not do what God said and kind of take it on his own. And one of the things he was not supposed to do is take the spoils of the land that they just conquered. There was goats and sheep and livestock. And Saul thought, I'm going to take these for my own. Well, God challenged him in that. And the prophet Samuel comes to Saul and convicts him of this. And if you look at verse 22 and 23, it says this. And Samuel said to Saul, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion, as is the sin of divination and presumption, is that as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. See, obedience is important, way over even sacrifice. Oh man, I go to church, I sacrifice to that. No, God wants you to follow him. And he wants that obedience there. And to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience, like children to their parents, reflects the name of Jesus. Do we really obey Father God? I can't answer that for you. But do you love your neighbor? How about in prayer? How about in giving? How about in serving? Like kids show the way of obedience, we are to follow that and to obey God like that. As well, fathers are to lead out to not provoke or exasperate their kids, to not embitter them by nagging and being overly harsh and not affirming and picking on them. And not just fathers, we can apply this to parents, all parents and grandparents and other family members. And the reality, and really all of us, because it seems it's so easy these days to complain and unleash our frustration on others, asking demeaning questions meant to shame, spewing criticisms meant to harm, venting dissatisfactions meant to diminish. Honestly, it's exasperating. And I know many of you are so, so tired of that happening online with tweets and with things happening. It's awful. It's exasperating. And yet those who are clothed in Christ, doing all in the name of Jesus, we are to build up and affirm and not tear down. Ephesians 4:29 puts it this way. It says, let no corrupt talk, actually the word corrupt talk means literally tearing down. Let no tearing down talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for the building up, word is edification, they're building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. How was your speech this past week? More building up or more tearing down with those questions of shame, those criticisms to harm, those dissatisfactions to diminish? Let's obey the Lord and live life Jesus's way. Let's do what Hebrews 10:24 says. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another in love and good deeds, in affirmation, in those building up, edifying, encouraging words. Let us affirm. And dads, we're to lead out in this. We're to show the way in this kind of affirming, non-exasperating way of engaging others. It reflects the name of Jesus. For when we engage others, empowered by Jesus' will and way, they are blessed, we thrive, and we dance. It's a fun, good dance to be empowered by the light of who Jesus is and his way of life, to do all in the name of Jesus. Like actions, actions to participate in love seen in a good marriage, or the actions of obedience and affirmation seen in great families, but also to be empowered to diligence and justice as in business. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, looking now at verse 22 to the end, the first part of chapter 4. It says, bondservants. Now, a bondservant was somebody like an employee. They were a servant by choice. Bondservants obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Do not, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, bosses, treat your bondservants, your employees, justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And both employee and bosses are to seek that in the name of Jesus action of diligence. To, yes, follow through with directives and promises given and made, but also not just appeasing, doing things with empty obedience, but with our hearts into it as if we are working for the Lord. Not by way of eye service, as verse 22 says, but with sincerity of hearts, fearing the Lord. Verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily, is for the Lord, not for men. Today, there's a notion that we only work for ourselves. And if we don't get the perks, the conditions we think we deserve, we move on regardless of how unrealistic these expectations we have are. And sure, there are times we need to move on, but the Lord leads. Jesus therefore, is the one who should be our big boss. He's the one that should move us on. He's the one that should help us make that decision. And the question is he? Is he your big boss? Because that's the key. That's the key in life, placing Christ in that highest seat of influence. For when he is there calling the shots, we can even work in a difficult job knowing we're working for God. We can know that God has it, because you know that it's God who's the one who placed you there. We have what we have by the hand of God. We have what we don't have by the hand of God as well. God placed you where you are. And he wants to do something. And even though it's tough, doesn't mean it's time to bail. Now, there needs to be a lot of wisdom in that, because there is some times when it's tough and you do need to leave. But you need to seek godly wisdom on that and let God release you. And people in leadership are to lead with justice, what is right and moral and fair and equitable, above the laws of the land and in line with Jesus's name. Which brings in the Bible book of Philemon. Some of you know of that book. It's right in your Bible, the Bible book of Philemon. Philemon was a letter that Paul wrote to Philemon, who actually was a person in the church in Colossae. Now, Philemon, in that day, it was very legal to own slaves or to have indentured servants or to have bond servants in your house. And there were laws of the land, that, and the Bible doesn't condone slavery. Please know that. The Bible actually Philemon fights against that. But there was all kinds of laws in the land and all these things. And Philemon had a slave. His name was Onesimus. And Onesimus did something. Either he did something illegal or unlawful. He ran from his position. He was AWOL, absent without leave. And he was in trouble with Philemon. Well, both Philemon and Onesimus are followers of Jesus. And Paul hears of this, and he writes a letter to Philemon about Onesimus. And what he says to, he challenges them both to in the name of Jesus kind of actions. Paul, for Onesimus to stop running and as a believer to seek repentance and to work hard at his job under Philemon. And for Philemon, who could have had legal actions against Onesimus, was told to forgive and to treat Onesimus as a brother to fellowship with as an equal, which was unheard of at the time. And so you see Paul calling these both servant and employee, boss and employee, to these in the name of Jesus actions. See, when we are empowered by Jesus, we have a different dance. I don't know what your dance is. I love little Ebenezer's dance, you know. Eliana seemed to have a little more rhythm, but isn't that the truth? Both employees and bosses are to lead out in Jesus-type diligence and justice. The question is, are you? For when we engage others empowered by Jesus' will and way, they are blessed and we thrive. So here's a question to ponder. Whose name are you reflecting? Are we doing everything in the name of Jesus? Let's be those kind of people who do things in the name of Jesus, empowered by Jesus, empowered by Jesus to participate in love like in a good marriage, empowered to obey and affirm as in a family, empowered to diligence and justice as in business. For when we engage others, empowered by Jesus' will and way, they are blessed, and we thrive and we dance. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for the fun and the joy that you call us to in you. Thank you, Lord, for the fun dance that you have us to live and to enjoy, just like those kids on the screen were dancing to a song of your word. How fun it is just to be able to live life your way and enjoy deep relationships, thriving relationships, whether it's a marriage or a family or a business. because we're seeking to be empowered by you. Lord Jesus, help us soak in your light, so much so that it just leaks out of us, that we can't help but just start to move. God, challenge us. Help us and encourage us. And may we just enjoy this week, this life, as an incredible, fun opportunity to see you empowering us and us living out how you want us to. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.